In addition to the gospel reading read just a moment ago to you, there is an alternate, a longer gospel selection that could be used. It's extending back to verse 32. What I would like to do is include those verses in our meditation this morning, along with a portion of that which was read to you. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again." James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory." It is absolutely amazing and astounding how, when it comes to Jesus Christ, mankind has a habit of totally and completely missing out on the important. We have a case of that before us in our text today. Jesus calls his disciples aside. He makes it a point to take them away from the crowd, and he's going to teach them something. He wants them to hear it, so he separates them. This is important stuff he's going to impart to them. And he tells them that they're going to Jerusalem and everything that's going to happen to him. That he's going to suffer, that he's going to die, that he's ultimately going to rise again. And in the next breath, there's James and John. "Jesus, we want you to do whatever we want. Do for us whatever we want you to do." "What do you want?" "Well, let us sit beside you in your glory." Talk about missing the point. The focus goes from that which is all important to that which is pure selfish gain. Isn't that the way it goes? We heard in the Old Testament lesson, of course, this morning, God's talk of a new covenant that he's going to make. That this covenant will be placed inside of people, and that he will live inside of those people, and that their sin will be forgiven. Their sin will not be remembered anymore. Where in that prophecy of Jeremiah is there talk about selfish gain for humanity? Selfish gain for the disciple of Jesus Christ. "Lord, we want you to do whatever we want. Do it for us." And when it comes to Jesus Christ, the important, that toward which God pointed the entire history of the world up to that point in time, and to which he still points until the end of time, becomes secondary to sinful humanity. Let's get out of Jesus whatever we can. It's not only Jesus' disciples, you know, but we have that same type of thing going on today. And I suppose always have in the history of humanity. Somehow or other, the forgiveness of sin, the assurance of everlasting life, just isn't enough for humanity. We want more, and we want it right now. And the more that we want has everything to do with this life and not the coming life. You hear it all the time. Come to Jesus and he can do this for you. He can do that for you. He can do the other thing for you. He'll grant you success. He'll grant you finances. He'll grant you what you want. And if there is talk of sin and grace, if there is talk of the forgiveness of sin, it is presented in an entirely and completely secondary manner. It serves only as a springboard to what's most important, and that's what you can get out of Jesus. Yep. It's amazing. Our Lord is consistent throughout his earthly ministry. Consistent, not in promising the proverbial bed of roses to his followers. Never. But he is consistent in the message of why he came. He is consistent in his message that in him, God is reconciling the world to himself. That in him, God completely forgets whatever sin it is we have committed, however many they may be. And they are many. And he points always to a healed relationship between his Father and his Father's creation, his Father's humanity. We're not told Jesus' emotions when he heard James and John approach him, after he went out of his way to privately instruct them about what was going to happen to him. To them it was as if, oh well, so be it, you do something for us now. When all along, Jesus had to be thinking, I am doing this for you. And it's the best I got. And the rest of the gospel lesson read to you, of course, Jesus begins to teach them about servanthood and what is true greatness and how it is totally flipped on its head from how the world considers greatness. And Jesus totally and completely flips how the world views importance. Importance is not one's health, is not one's financial security. Importance is not one's social standing, how many followers someone has on Facebook. Importance is the new covenant instituted by Jesus Christ, in which we have the forgiveness of sin and the assurance of everlasting life. It's sad in a way. It's a true commentary. But may it not be said of us. Rather, let it be said, we saw what was important, and on that and that alone did we place our hope. Amen.